This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
I just want to welcome everyone that's tuned into Radio K Pulpit. This is Alana Willifee with my program called Body Matters. I hope you all had a great week that just passed. At the moment, we are busy with a four-part series by Rishon Naftali, which is my guest speaker today. And she has written a book called I Believe in You. So we are going to be discussing how to overcome in a disorderly world. So we were busy the last 3 weeks. We have covered, basically last 2 weeks, we've covered six of the keys. And today we're going to touch on another three keys. And altogether, there is 12 keys that we're going to touch on. So welcome, Rishon.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for being with me today and for just covering this beautiful series. I've learned so much and you've got so much wisdom. But for those of the listeners out there who haven't really been maybe listening to the first two sessions, don't you just want to recap on those six keys that we've covered?
Yes. Maybe I can just say how I got to that for those who haven't listened previously. God revealed twelve, and he said, this is what the heart of the king looks like, Jesus, Yeshua. And he said, we need to conform to them. And so what we've covered so far is the first one is to be passionate for intimacy with the Lord. If you are passionate for intimacy with the Lord, then the next door opens for you, which is the second key called commit to conform to the character of the Son, and that character is wisdom. And then if you have committed, then you are enabled to surrender, which is the third key, to surrender your will unto the Lord's. Now, once you've surrendered your own will, you are able to discover and walk out in your calling, which is the fourth key. The fifth key is the word that you now need to apply. So in other words, not to be just a knower of the word, but also a doer of the word, key number five. And number six is once you've identified what your calling is, you now need to use the word and then go out in obedience unto the Lord. So you need to be able to hear, listen, and obey the voice of the Father. So those are the six that we've dealt with up till now.
Okay, so Rishon, we're going to touch on key seven today, and that is receiving revelation from the Father. So share a little bit about that.
We first need to understand what the word revelation means, and it's basically to disclose an unknown fact. God discloses an unknown fact, a truth, in other words. It's like revealing a heavenly secret. And it's like the Father shares his mind so that he can instruct us. So think about it. When a person shares a secret with somebody else, he doesn't declare it off the roofs, but he comes close to someone and he shares it in private. And that's what God does. He calls you into the corner of intimacy and says, come, I want to share something with you. And it's only for your ears until I tell you when you need to share it. So, God will reveal his secrets to those who are faithful to him. He hides himself deep inside of you, and he wants you to come and delve within your own heart and to find out what is on his heart. It's all about communicating one-on-one with him. But the key is you need to go into a private place alone with him, because in this world, which is so disorderly and so lawless, there are far too many things that distract us. And we need to fight for that private time with the Lord. So if you think of Luke 22, Jesus got together with his disciples at a particular hour, an appointed time in the upper room. And the upper room is that private room. So it was at a particular time. It is at a particular time that God shares secrets with his people. And in this case, Luke 22, what did Jesus share? He told them, I'm going to go away. And he said, come, I want to serve you here at the table. Who's the most important one? The one that serves or the one that sits at the table? He says, come, I want you to serve because I'm conferring the kingdom to you. Do as I do. Do as I do. So that was a secret that he shared with him and says, you know what? I came to earth not to be served so much as to serve. Mark 10. I think a lot of us get that wrong. We think, no, once we, you know, a pastor or whatever, we think we are out there to be served by mankind, and it's the other way around. The higher you move up in spirit, the more you become servant. Okay, so that's about sharing secrets. So this is my story, which I'd like to share. What I'm going to share is how the Lord revealed the Kingdom Heart blueprint to me. Okay, in 2002, God took me up a secluded mountain, and very few people go to this place. It's in hiding. It's a hidden mountain, and he revealed 12 places to me while I was climbing. He stopped me for 12 times while I was climbing, and every time when I stopped, he revealed one of these keys, which we are busy with at the moment. I did not know what he was talking about. I wrote it down in a book. In a little black book. And I put the book in the cupboard. That book lay there for 4 years. And then God said to me one day, go and get the book out of the cupboard. This is the core of your ministry.
Wow. Sure.
So had I taken that information and if I was reckless and I ran up front ahead of God, I would have shared it, number one, with the wrong people, and number two, out of timing, because your audience has to be ready for what you need to share. So sometimes God will give you, dear listener, something, and you might be frustrated thinking, but for who is this and when? And I want to tell you that's my story. And it was literally 5 years later. In other words, I got the message in 2002. 2007 is when I started sharing these keys. So I've been sharing it for 14 years to very selective audiences. So when God gave this blueprint to me, he said, your mandate is 2 Timothy 2 verse 2. He says, go and share what I've taught you with other reliable people. So whatever I'm sharing here over the radio, all the four sessions, my heart is for whatever you can get out of this, whether it's one key or two keys, take it and go and share it with somebody else. God gave me What I shared last time was that God gave me, through a gentleman, he gave me a picture. And on this picture, it was a picture of a mountain. And it says, don't pray for the mountains to become smaller, but for the climbing to be easier. And this is what life is about. We are in a tough world out there. We cannot run away from it. We have to go through it. And we do that by climbing over all the hurdles that come our way. And the higher we climb, the better view we have. We start to see the world from God's perspective, slowly but surely, and that makes us more of a conqueror than someone who's defeated. So, to end off this particular key, the Lord told me that these keys are in sequence with one another. In other words, key number one, if there's no intimacy. Number six, which is hearing and obeying the voice of God, cannot come into play. It cannot work. So you've got to understand there's a sequence involved here. So number seven is God reveals these keys, at least revelation, if he can see that you hear him and listen to him and obey him. So just once again to say, to conclude this key, why is it important to receive revelations? Because it brings change. Mm-hmm. It brings direction, insight, in other words, light and life. So how do I overcome challenges in a disorderly world? I overcome when I receive revelations from the Father.
Amen. So, Rochelle, let's take a short break and we'll be back after this. If you've just tuned in, it's Alana Willifair from Body Matters, and I'm chatting to Rochelle Naftali from Kingdom Heart Networking. And we were just chatting about how to overcome in a disorderly world. This is the third part of our 4-week series, and we've just touched on key seven, receiving revelation from the Father. So, Rochelle, let's go on to key eight. And key eight, you've got die to self. Tell us a little bit about that key.
I need to mention that there's a difference between surrendering and dying to self. A lot of people confuse the two. Surrendering is to give up your own will. In other words, it's a choice that you make, and it's often when things don't work out in your life and you were in control over many things in your own life, and suddenly things are out of control and you get to a turning point in your life where you say, you know what, I've got nowhere else to go but to God. That's when you then surrender. But dying to self is much deeper. It's like Jesus going to the cross. So when you're stuck in a situation, it's a very lonely, painful road which Jesus had to endure before going to the cross. No one could help him. It was just him and God. Now, sometimes God keeps you in a situation until you agree to go through it. But it will cost you a price. Now, Jesus said, oh, Father, please, can you just take this cup away from me? And then he said, well, Lord, you know, I love you, Father. I love you so much. I will go through it.
Mm.
I'm willing to pay that price no matter what. And this is about dying to self. You will find on that road you might even lose friends. It will feel as if you've lost your identity. You'll feel rejected. You might be falsely accused. You're really humbled. You feel as if you're literally dying within. So to explain this, I'm going to share my story. And I call it yielding in the pigsty. You know, a God is sovereign. And remember, a parent disciplines his child. So God has ways to discipline us, and we each have a different story. He knows the amount of pressure that he needs to put on each one of us to get us to a place where he wants us to be. So I'm going to share with you what he used, what circumstance he used to get me to where he wants, in other words, in terms of dying to self. So what happens is in this time, he tests our quality. Tests our quality. And he puts us in very hot circumstances. The heat is really on when you are dying to self, where you have to do that. So this was in 2001. And God overruled my own plans and ideas, but he never deserted me for one moment. I worked for a vehicle transportation company. It's those big trucks where they transfer about 10 cars on the truck. Sure. So I worked for one of those companies for a period of 5 years, starting in 2001. It was a very rugged environment. And coming from a background where I used to work for a very rich company, where, with beautiful office surroundings, marble and copper and what have you, and suddenly you're in this dirty depot. So it's really, he brings you down to earth. And so God humbled me, and he put me in a position, a job, which I regarded, pardon me for saying this, lower than my intelligent levels. Now that was, at that stage, I was prideful.
Mm.
Okay, so God wanted to show me that your identity should not lie in your job. So this company, I was surrounded by oily, rude truck drivers, a rowdy, dusty office where about 12 of us shared an office.
Sure.
It was loud. It was like packed sardines. The radio was playing loud in the one corner. There was continuous swearing. I'm going to be straightforward here because this is my story. I mean, a lot of people can identify with this, I think. There was gossiping. There was adultery. There was pornography in magazines lying in certain offices. There were Satanists who worked for the company, and people blasphemed the name of God. There was stealing. There was suicide, open rejection, and sexual assault. All of that together simultaneously. Mm. It was absolutely unbearable for me. And I begged God to take me out. I went for other work interviews, tried to really duck, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, made my own plans. Lord, I just want to get out of here. So I applied for 3 different jobs. And believe it or not, I got all 3. And the perks were fantastic. But the moment I would accept the job, the door would close.
Sure.
Suddenly the man who wanted to appoint me just disappeared off the face of the earth. And another one said, sorry, we've changed our mind about that position. No position anymore. So I asked God, what's going on here? Mm. And this is what he said to me. This is not your CV. Not your work experience, not your personality, not your looks can guarantee you a job. I am the one who will provide you with a job in a company that I deem fit, and this depot is my choice for you now.
Sure. Sounds like a hard word.
So God said to me, he asked me a question, and he said, do you know the story about the prodigal son? And I said, yes, Lord. And he said, what do you think? Why did the son return to his father? And then I said, well, Lord, he wasted a lot of money, and he literally lived with the pigs. So he must have been so sick and tired of the pigsty. And the Lord said, exactly. You are now in a pigsty. He says, I want to draw you, your heart, straight back to me, like I drew that prodigal son's heart back to his father.
Wow.
And what did that father do? He said, come, my son, I see you have a change of heart. Come, let's have a feast. That is the heart of the father. He's not interested in the fact that the son made so many mistakes. He said, come, I see your heart. You want to change. And God said, I want to bring you to that point that you are so sick of the ways of the world that you turn to me 100%. So he said to me, I'll keep you in this position for as long as I want. And I will show you what my light can do in the darkness.
Wow.
Now, I want to say the job that he gave me was a humble position. I had to write out fuel slips for truck drivers. And that was it. Nothing else. So I often had to deal with illiterate people. And they were, I was bored. But that's all he gave me for a year. But in that time, how did I get through this? How did I overcome this? Well, first of all, he forced me. I didn't have a choice. And secondly, although I initially thought, oh, Lord, just take this cup away from me. I eventually said, Lord, okay, get me then through this. Help me. So every single day he gave me strategy. So every single day I had to use the Holy Communion in the mornings before I went to work, because the morale in the company was so low that when I walked in there in the mornings, it was depression. So I had to pray over myself before I went to work. Not just that, I prayed for the armor of God over me. Ephesians 6. And I said, Lord, thank you that I'm saved. That's my strength. Thank you that I have faith. Thank you that I'm righteous in your eyes. Thank you that I can stand on the truth, which is the word. And Lord, I'm ready for whatever you want to do through me. That's what I did for a full year.
Sure. And that is almost, if I can interrupt, God making you thankful in the times where things are tough, when you can cultivate a heart of thankfulness. No matter where you are, where Paul says, I learned to be content in all circumstances.
Now you're talking. I will tell you that during that time, you are confronted with your own fleshliness because you get angry. You know, I got angry at times. And can I tell you something? In spite of that, I had someone come to me one day and he looked at me and he said to me, you're different. You must be a Christian. And I never preached to them one word of Jesus, sure. Not once. Okay, so when I submitted and I said, God, right, take me through this. So in other words, I had to change my attitude, all right? A year later, what happened was, when I went to work, I would focus more, vertically.
Vertically, yeah.
Yeah. I would sit at my table and say, Lord, it's just you and me. Literally every day, I would say, Lord, it's just you and me. And I would try not to take much note of what was going on around me in the office. Because I was openly rejected. Because they knew I was different. So it was painful. But you know what? After a year, God said, okay, open your eyes and see what's going on now. Swearing, practically gone. Pornography books, gone. Suddenly staff members coming to me saying, you know, I think it's time for me to go to church. Sexual harassment, gone. Rejection towards me, gone. Gossiping stopped. Adultery stopped. And God said, this is what my light can do in a place of darkness.
Wow.
So it's a supernatural thing. I didn't know it happened.
Yes.
So this is what I'd like to conclude by saying to the listeners, that when we die to self, we don't realize that something supernatural happens through us. It's then all between the Lord and the world out there.
And that reminds me of that scripture where it says, it's not I who live, but Christ who lives within me. You know, we don't live for ourselves. We live for Christ. And that is so beautiful.
Mm-hmm. I want to encourage people and say, remember, believers, we are in this world, but we're not of the world. In other words, we will be affected. We will get hurt. Mm-hmm. We will feel a slap. We will feel hurt when we reject it, but we're not influenced by the ways of the world. And that's the difference. We have a choice if we want to overcome or not. Just depends if you are open to feeling a little uncomfortable. So how do I overcome challenges in a disorderly life? I overcome when I deny my own interest. In other words, when I die to self.
Sure, that was so powerful. I don't know about you listeners out there, but I've been hanging on to every word that Rishon was saying. And you know, it's amazing how God, when you're just obedient, and I know there's so many of you maybe sitting in a workplace right now like Rishon, and you think, you know, God, why am I here? And you know, if we can just reach like out to God, just be intimate with him and say, Lord, what is my purpose here? Because for wherever you are situated, God has placed you there for a reason. And that is so powerful. So, Rishon, let's go on to the next key. And this key is being enter boldly, to walk out boldly with his presence.
To enter boldly. I mean, this key means to enter boldly in God's presence. To walk out boldly with God's presence. We first have to go in before we can go out. So when Jesus died on the cross, the veil tore open. And then all those who have accepted Christ as their personal Savior could enter into God's Holy of Holies. In other words, that's the place of moving into Yahweh's presence. So God came and he said, you know what? Jesus now has opened that way for you if you've accepted him. He says, you are invited now to boldly enter. In other words, just the way you are, just come. Hebrew 4. But let me just explain that to enter boldly means that you come forward with a sincere heart and in confidence, without guilt feeling. Hebrew 10. I think a lot of people feel they don't have access to God because of guilt feelings. And you know what God says? You know what? Get over it. Get over it. I mean, accept Christ as your Savior and your sins are washed away. You have access then. Don't let anyone lie to you about that. So let me share my story. It continues from the previous story. So as I said, it was a one full year that I had to stay in the pigsty before God brought a change. So after dying to myself, God raised me up. He promoted me physically in a position. And you could maybe compare that or bring it into the likeness of spiritual resurrection. God's word says in Romans 6, if you've died with me, you'll be raised up with me. Meaning if you die to your old ways, you will then be raised up spiritually so that you can walk in authority. So God promoted me. I became a marketing consultant, and at last I was free to move. And there were lots of benefits. I had a company car, company fuel was paid, a fixed salary plus a high percentage incentive.
Wow.
Annual bonus. And God then in that process, he said, okay, I've now promoted you, and but I want to tell you that you no longer work for the CEO of this company. He anyway blasphemed the name of the Lord. He says, but you work for me inside this company. He says, and I have new rules and you must function according to them. So normally with this marketing consultant, you normally plan ahead your customer visits, daily visits, your weekly and your monthly visits. And then God came and he said to me, you know what? Don't say to me, God, I have a plan. Come along with me. He says, no, you must say, God, what is your plan and where do you want to take me?
Sure.
Today.
Mm.
So it's a daily thing.
Yes.
Daily, I had to ask him that. He said to me, no more weekly planning, monthly planning, daily. So I'd say, Lord, right, which customers do you want me to go to? And he said to me, you know what? You're going to get customers and business in the areas that you won't expect.
Sure.
If you trust me. So I said, all right, Lord, where do you want me to go to? And he said, I want to send you to one or two particular car dealerships. And it was an area that I wouldn't have chosen myself.
Mm, sure.
So what happened was I walked in there holding my head up high because I felt strong and confident. You know, God has raised me up. So with boldness, I walked out and I walked into a company, this one of these dealerships. And as I entered the door and I looked at the dealer principal, the Lord showed me that that man was an unbeliever.
Mm.
He showed it to me. Now, I could have walked out right there and then and said, oh, no, I'm not going to come right here. Mm. But no, in boldness, I still went closer and I said, hi, good day. I have the service which I can offer. Are you interested? And he looked at me and he said, no, I'm sorry. I've got my own drivers. But then he took out on his table, there was a little square box of, square pieces of paper. And he took one of them and he jotted down five names and he pushed it over the desk and he said, you will get a lot of business from these people.
Wow.
Is that favor or what?
Mm.
I got years of business off from that little piece of paper.
Sure.
So bottom line, when we boldly walk out with God's presence, we experience his favor.
Mm.
Because not just that, my sales figures exceeded my monthly targets.
Wow.
When I called on potential customers, they would give me names of other potential customers. Some of them would even share the competitors' rates with me so that I could offer them a lower rate.
Wow.
And thus gain the business.
Mm.
So strange things happen when you walk in the boldness of the Lord. So God proved to me that he rewards us when we boldly enter into his presence, when we seek his face, and when we obey him. So to conclude, if we want to overcome in this disorderly world, we need to enter into God's presence, to really seek him one-on-one, and then he will walk out with you and his presence within you. So that is the end of this key.
Wow, Rashawn, that is so powerful. And it's just a reminder of that, you know, where God says that that prayer of the Lord where he says, give us today our daily bread. You know, if we seek God every day and for his word, for his direction, for his wisdom, you know, and seek him boldly, like you said, boldly enter into his presence, then God's favor is upon us. And I, that's such a beautiful testimony. And I think we can, as we listen to that, there's so much you can learn about that in every sphere of our lives. You know, when we come together with God and we say, Lord, what do you want me to do? You know, that God's favor, every step of the way, God will make our feet as sure as those of a deer. So thank you so much for sharing that. We're going to take a quick music break and we'll be back shortly. Hi, if you've just tuned into Radio K-Pulpit, it's Alana Oelifi with Body Matters. And I've just been chatting to Rashawn Naftali and we've touched on three keys, key number 7 to 9, of how to overcome in a disorderly world. But unfortunately, it's almost the end of the program. And I just want to ask Rashawn, for those of you who find the program interesting, this series, and you want to, you've got questions to ask, you want to find out more and you want to connect with Rashawn, Rashawn, don't you want to give us a bit of your details, of where these listeners can connect with you?
Yes, I have a, to give you more information about exactly what I do, because I do a variety of things, you can go on the website, which is www.kheart networking.com. That is the website, and my email is, again, the initial K, so it's kheart@gmail.com. And then I have, I'm contactable on WhatsApp or Telegram on 076-729-1128. I'd like to mention, if I may, Alana, that I feel led to make three books available to any listener who really feels led to read from these books. But I have a prerequisite.
No, that's wonderful. Yeah. Thank you.
So if they can, the first three listeners who get through to me on any of these, you know, contact, you know, especially maybe the WhatsApps or the Telegram, the first three that gets through to me, and the prerequisite is they must tell me why they want the book. Because the Lord said to me, don't dish out your books randomly. It's for people who really have a seeking heart. So that is what I can say for now.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Rashawn, for that generous offer. So if any one of you are interested, I've also got the book from her. It is brilliant. So if you feel this is something that you really need and you keen, please contact her. We'll give the details again just before we end off. But before we do that, Rashawn, don't you want to just give the listeners out there a word of encouragement, anything you feel on your heart right now to say to them?
Yes. Dear listener, I want to say to you, don't let your mistakes keep you from drawing close to God. It's time to get over yourself because God has so much grace. He's really immeasurable. His grace is so huge. Nothing can shock him. Absolutely nothing. So come with him. I mean, come draw close to him and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you further.
Rashawn, on that note, let us pray. And then I'll give the telephone number again for those of you who didn't have a pen earlier on. if you can go and grab a pen or get a pen, we're going to give it away again before the end of this program. But yeah, so now we just, let us just enter into prayer.
I proclaim over God's followers the following. I proclaim that you shall receive the desire to receive new revelations from the Father. I proclaim that you will receive favor if you deny your own interest, and that God will open new doors for you. And I proclaim that you will walk in all boldness and victory. Amen from my side.
Amen. Thank you so much, Rashawn, for sharing those amazing keys and just sharing part of your testimony. That's, you know, God's been so faithful in your life and teaching you these principles. So thank you for teaching us these principles too. Would you just give your telephone number again for those who didn't have a pen or something to write it, please?
Yeah, it's 076-729-1128. 076-729-1128. And I also just want to mention, I prefer messages in writing. Please, thank you.
Okay, thank you so much. So if you're interested, you need to get onto the phone and WhatsApp as soon as possible. So thank you so much, Rashawn, for sharing with us. And yes, so I will see you all again next week. And next week, we're going to touch on the last series on and the last three keys and of this program. So please join us again next Saturday at the same time. Looking forward to hearing from you, and have a blessed and beautiful week. From me, Alana Ulifi, goodbye.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.